Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jacos, how did you learn to play guitar?
I bought a Offspring Americana tab book.
Okay.
And
did you pay the man?
That's one of the songs. I could never play that song.
It is.
It's quite hard, that one.
Do you want to be pretty fly for a white guy?
That's the only thing I've ever wanted. Walla walla.
Well, one style of guitar playing that you could learn at Guitar Tricks is Americana. You could learn to play some Americana. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks is your home to learn how to play guitar. Basically, we've teamed up with Guitar Tricks, who are offering a 14-day free trial of their service. There's basically everything on there, from real beginners courses through intermediate through expert, video tutorials, written stuff, a whole package to basically either get you started on playing guitar, but if you listen to this, you probably already started. If you want to reach the next level, guitarnerds.net/guitar tricks. And you can think of more Offspring puns.
The kids aren't all right.
But if they were better guitar players, maybe the kids would be all right. And na 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 na, hey, 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 why don't you get a job? GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
And Jay Cross.
Hello, Mark.
The boys are back in town.
Well, not all of us.
Joe is really ill.
The good ones are. Did he catch?
He did.
Your gallbladder.
He did. So for
did he catch it?
For anyone who has not listened for the last few weeks, I've been out. Last couple of weeks, I had my gallbladder removed. So I'm feeling good. Feeling good to be back on the podcast.
Yes.
But in the meantime, Joe Branton has caught some sort of super lurgy, and he is now out sick. So
he even said to us,
"He wasn't even out for my birthday. He wasn't even out drinking for my birthday." So, you know, it's
well,
not booze
I mean,
related.
More than that, he even said that he's going to knock the booze on the head for a while.
I mean, firstly, I don't believe him.
No,
but secondly, I didn't think I'd see the day when Joe Branton was considering jacking in the booze.
Yeah.
Because he loves the booze.
He does.
I don't know if you know, if you've listened to this podcast a few times, you may know Joe Branton bloody loves the booze. And he's off the booze because he's ill. So it feels good to be back doing a podcast, but I've kind of forgotten how we do these things. And
this is how we do it.
We should also say that because of some computer stuff that's happened, we've had to switch a few things around. So if you're watching live on YouTube, hopefully the stream is going okay. If it's not, let us know in the chat. Jay's going to be in the chat hanging out there all podcast. Hopefully for people listening on the catch-up podcast, we won't have too many problems. Matt Knight is there in glorious audio technicolor. Hopefully we're all good. Lots to talk about, lots to catch up on. But Matt Knight, how was your 30th birthday?
It was brilliant. We played a mini golf and had a curry, and then I stayed up till 4 a.m. drinking booze.
And that's
I called
like
a proper Branton.
That's later than I've stayed up for years.
Yeah, and then that's it. That was my last hurrah while I enter the last 6 weeks of marathon training. So seven weeks to go.
So, like Branton and myself, are you off the booze?
I will be, yeah. So it's going to be a fun weekend recording videos where we have...
Just Jay's going to have to...
Vegan snacks and tea.
Jay's going to basically have to drink all of the booze for everyone else.
Okay.
We're getting together this weekend to record a load of...
Feel right.
We will get together and feel all right. But also, we are filming a load of Pedal of the Week videos. And we'll probably do some other guitar nerdy type stuff, I would imagine.
Like what?
I don't know. Hang out. Talk about pedals. Maybe we could do some live streaming.
I'd be up for that.
Should we watch some wrestling? Mark, you love wrestling. Let's watch wrestling.
Do you know what? I was telling Jay earlier that I watched the episode of the last ever episode of WCW Monday Nitro, and also the episode of Monday Night Raw that they broadcast on the same night. So not only did I watch two episodes of fairly rubbish 90s wrestling, but there were parts in it that were on both shows, and I watched them both, and I don't know why I did this. So, anyway.
What do you want to do?
You've got WCW versus NWO Revenge on the N64.
It's 100% the best computer game ever made.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Anyway, so this is the sort of stuff you've missed with me being out for 2 weeks. But, Matt, what have you been up to the last couple of weeks? Have you been playing much guitar?
I have been playing a bit of guitar, yes. Work has been fairly busy, so that's been taking up a lot of my time. And I've taken on a second Instagram account, so
what?
I'm currently now doing Boss Instagram, so I can now rid the Guitar Nerds Instagram of too much Boss stuff and post other stuff now, and I can save all my Boss related podcast Instagrams to the Boss Instagram page.
I can't believe you're cheating on us with the Boss Instagram account. How dare you?
I just love stuff so much, guitar stuff so much.
Just love.
So it's good.
Good. How about playing stuff? I know you've been streaming on the Facebook group loads with.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing more live streams and more videos and more sort of audio stuff. So I'm trying to currently work out the best way to Facebook Live. So I've bought a new webcam through Guitar Nerd. So hopefully you'll be able to use that for Facebook Live and then have proper audio coming in from Hughes and Kettner Redbox. So actually the guitar signal coming through will be really nice. We'll have proper mic. So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to do some once a week sort of live Q&A.
I think
thought might be quite good.
That's going to be cool. So in the Facebook group, I think you've been showing off the ungiggable rig. I noticed that like the video you did earlier, firstly, two things about it. Your guitar rig is now utterly ridiculous.
Yes,
because of all the rack stuff that you've got going on. But secondly, you need to turn the phone round because it was like the wrong way round, basically.
Yeah, I know, because I wanted to do it on the side because obviously I thought it'd get a better thing, but the Facebook audio or the Facebook video doesn't twist. It doesn't go with the thing, so maybe it's just my phone. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, new webcam coming soon. So some interesting stuff going on with that. The other thing we should talk
about... My Space Echo was broken, but it was actually just a faulty lead, which is the first faulty lead I've had in about 5 years.
Well, if a cable company wants to sponsor us and send you some free cables in return for a bit of plugging, let's see what we can hook up. I noticed that you've been... The quest for the Dan Electro food pedals has continued in my absence. Have you added something new to that yet, or have you got a couple of bits lined up?
Before I went to America, I bought the French Toast, which is one of the more difficult ones to get hold of, the Octave Fuzz. And I finally got a chance to plug it in on Friday. Is it Friday? Yeah, Friday. And it sounds absolutely wicked.
Wow.
And honestly, I'm certain if I put that in a box and hand-painted the box with a funky graphic and gave it a weird name, I could sell it for £250.
How much these?
It's just one of those pedals. It just sounds great. I think I paid £25 for it.
What we need to do is buy up all of them in the world, like that guy that wants to buy every VHS copy of Speed, and we'll just put them into some nice proper die-cast housings, and then what, millionaires? Something like that? Is that how it works?
Exactly. And then you linked me into a Facebook sort of selling page where a guy's selling four multiple five, but four of the ones I need. And then someone else linked me on Facebook with another one. But that's like another 100 quid's worth of stuff. So I think I'll have to pick and choose the rarer ones first.
Nah, man, just buy them all.
Yeah, just buy them all.
Just buy them all.
Because there's some that come up all the time, and then there's some that come up never. And he's got a couple of the ones that don't ever come up. However, the guy on Facebook only really wants to trade them for other pedals, so, which is slightly annoying.
You've got some stuff you can get rid of, though, right?
No, I've sort of got nothing left.
Just the food pedals.
Everything
that's
I've got
it.
Is on my which I'm sure at one point will probably come in real handy, maybe for some future Guitar Nerds videos.
Oh, I think definitely. We were talking about this earlier, like the food series. We could definitely do a, you know, if you had the complete
man versus food pedal, man versus Dan Electro food pedals,
definitely. If you had the whole collection, Matt, we could definitely do some video stuff on that. If you don't have the full collection, we can't do videos on it. Sorry, it needs to be complete.
We'll put it all on. We'll put it all on one pedal board.
Yes. Yes.
That's the one that I've realized I missed on. I list out the ones I was missing, and one of them I forgot was the French Fries Auto Wah. and I completely forgot about it until I saw one on eBay and someone wants like 80 quid for it. I was like, yeah, definitely not worth that much right now.
Mate, we have to do this video. You need to get them all.
You know, the talk back that they had for a while, and they had the slightly bigger ones. There was the Cool Cat Chorus, the Daddy-O Overdrive, the Fab Tone Distortion, and then they had the Talkback, which was the reverse delay, and the Sitar Swami. The Talkback delay goes for an average of 200 quid on eBay.
Mad. Why?
I don't remember it being that good. And actually, the Psycho Flange, which I remember when I was at GAC trying to sell five of them on like our bargain bucket for like a tenner each at one point. And now they're just going for silly money. I don't know whether it's just more people like me who are just like, oh, yeah, I remember those pedals. Should probably buy them. Or whether they actually generally sounded really good and we just didn't realise at the time.
Just fools, basically.
Yeah. Could well be.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I do continue on your quest. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't know about Matt's obsession with the food pedals, and maybe you've got the ones that he needs. Matt, do you want to list off the four or five that you need?
Go to Jay, and then I'll list them off in a minute, because I'm going to have to go back to my list.
See, I think it's dangerous, mate, telling people what he needs.
Because he's driving the price up.
It's going to hold people to ransom over it.
That's true.
That's what I'd do.
Yeah, totally. Matt, find the list, tell us what you need, and we'll see if any listeners can help you out. James Cross.
Hi, Mark.
I'm going to pretend that I haven't seen you for 2 weeks, even though I've seen you all the time. Well, a lot. What have you been up to for 2 weeks?
I went and recorded... I haven't spoken to you on the podcast since I recorded.
Yeah.
I did tell the podcast listeners that I recorded, though.
Did it go well?
It did. It went very well, yeah. And as I said last week, actually, Dan Grace, friend of the podcast, Dan Grace, me and him have started a band together. And we used his incredible Telecaster into a JCM 800. And it was honestly... one of the best guitar sounds I've ever heard.
Yeah, I bet.
It sounded absolutely phenomenal. That was really cool. I was really worried because I haven't played... In all the bands that I've been in that have recorded in like the last... well, since 2010, I've only ever sung. So I was really worried about actually playing... like actually having to get it right.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was really fun. Like, really cool. Recording's fun, isn't it?
I never enjoyed it.
I'm sure I never enjoyed it. But maybe it's now that I know more about stuff. Because in 2010, I didn't really like stuff. And now I quite like stuff.
But there's also, I think, an element of getting older. Like, the older I get, the more I look forward to recording and the less I look forward to doing gigs. Like, I don't really...
I still enjoy doing gigs.
One or two a year for me, that's more than enough.
Right.
Recording, I do... I'd try and do two albums a year if I could. That'd be excellent.
I don't think anybody likes your band that much.
No, I mean, but for my own pleasure, I like recording way more than I like gigging. And to be honest, like, if you do loads of gigs in a year, it probably ends up costing you...
oh, yeah, of course.
...about what recording an album costs.
Yeah,
if you're a punk band.
Yeah, I've no doubt, yeah.
Recording an album costs like 400 quid or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'd much rather do a load of recording than I would do gigs.
But yeah, it was really fun. And we have got like a little bit of time before we can go back and finish it. So, yeah, just going to try and write some more songs. It's really fun being in a band.
It is.
I sort of forgot. It's
it
really
is quite
fun.
Good fun. I ended up doing a load of recording yesterday. Basically, so as we talked about earlier, like I went on the beginning or the end of last month, went and had my gallbladder out, which means like basically out of action for doing anything for at least a week. And then after that, you're kind of still a bit sore and stuff. So it was kind of over, it was like 10 days or something, and I hadn't played guitar. And then sort of picked it back up and started playing. And then yesterday, did some recording for the first time in ages.
Yeah.
Recording some demos at home with the guitarist in my band. And he brought over a laptop and we just set up for doing some stuff at home. And the sound that I got was absolutely incredible. One of my favourite ever recording things that we've ever done. It was just like a, you know, record some demos at home. So we used the two note stuff that we've got. So the Torpedo Cab, which is the cab simulator.
Yeah, that we use
for the pedal of the week.
For the pedal of the week.
Yeah, yeah. Using the patch actually that Matt set up, which is just now called Guitar Nerd on there, which is an awesome sounding cab. And the Two Notes Laclean preamp, which is their separate preamp pedal, which sounds really good. Valve driven, two channel and stuff, but just use the clean channel on that. So running it just like a clean amp, basically. I think we were using like a Marshall cab. Matt, can you remember what that preset consisted of on the Torpedo cab?
I think it was a Silver Jubilee cab, greenback speakers, and I think I put an KT66 preamp in there, or power amp, if I remember rightly. So like a Marshall Jubilee, basically, or a Marshall Major, rather, like the big 200 watt Marshall head.
And the key thing, so I basically was just using the Laclean as like a completely clean preamp.
Yeah.
Before that, though, was using the Pedal Pal Effects JCM 800 emulator, which is something that we spoke about. We've done a Pedal of the Week video on it on the YouTube channel. Go and check that out.
So that's good. That's been and gone, isn't it?
It has come out. Yeah, it's been and gone. Yeah. And so that's we talked about that a little bit there. We talked about it on the Gear of the Year as well, and it didn't make it into our final list. But I think if I had done this recording before Gear of the Year, I would have like seriously fought for it to be on the list, because man, that guitar sound I had yesterday was so good. So good. And it was just like classic 800 sounds, but not miking up, just using, you know, a load of digital stuff and that Laclean preamp, and the JCM 800 thing with my Junior. Sounded so good.
I was thinking recently, one of the things we should maybe think about doing is like going back to videos that we've done and like revisiting the pedals to be like, you know how like every year we do, when we do Gear of the Year, we go, but one of the categories is this year's gear of last year.
Go back over
maybe we should go back and be like, because there's, if ever you look at, I mean, look at any one of the videos that we do, there will be someone complaining that we didn't do something correctly.
Yeah, of course.
Which is, you know, the inherent nature of the internet. But maybe we should be like, okay, let's have another look at this.
Yeah, a little follow-up video. I was thinking about this, actually. So the webcam that we use here for the podcast, I think I'm going to try and take that home and do some live streaming from home this week.
Yeah.
And at home, I've got three pedals that all essentially do the same job, just because they've ended up being at home rather than on this display here behind us, for those watching on the video. I've got the Golden Brownie, which is the X5,
yeah, which is
800
wonderful.
In a box.
Probably our favourite pedal for under...
Yep, under 100 quid,
under
50. I think
they're 49, are they, I thought? 40?
No, maybe they're like 69 quid, something like that.
Super cheap,
yeah,
in
yeah. So I've got the Golden Brownie, I've got the Ramble Drive...
Ramble Effects Marvel
Drive 3, and I've got this Pedal Power. So they're all 800 emulators.
Yeah.
So I might try and set something up this week where I just line those up and go through similar sounds.
Yeah.
On each one, and get people to talk about kind of what they like.
Yeah.
So that might be, I might either do that to the Facebook group or the YouTube channel at some point this week, and
cool.
Just like
exciting.
Test some stuff.
Very
basically.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that happened while I was away, this happened last night actually, I had a dream about getting an SG Junior, and now I want to buy an SG Junior.
Do you know anyone who had a an SG joint? Do you know anyone who had like a really cool?
Do you know anyone who had a really cool, really old
SG Junior?
I don't. Matt, do you know anyone?
I do. Although it was cool, but ultimately,
it was what?
It wasn't the best. It's what I've always said about all the vintage guitars I've ever bought. Just like, they're great to start with, and then they kind of don't
in
ever
fairness,
keep up with modern guitars.
In fairness, you have had a mixture of vintage guitars. That Tele that you bought a 72 Tele, 72 Standard, which you traded your Esquire for, and you asked me what you should do, and I told you not to do it, and you did it anyway, and then that 72 was a hound.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and I mean,
what I did tell you to do was not sell the SG.
No, but I actually, to be honest, at the end of the day, I didn't get on with it.
Yeah, fair enough.
To be honest, every time I plugged it in, I was like, it was in desperate need of a refret, because the frets were so low, and I was like, I don't really want to refret this. And I was like, with the Pink Les Paul, so to be honest, I think it was a fair trade-off for me.
Owned by Ray Davies, wasn't it? Your SG?
It came from his studio, yeah.
Man, that was basically exactly the guitar that I sort of dreamt about, and now I really want a two-pickup SG Junior.
No, one-pickup.
There's quite a few of them around, like vintage ones, but also the one to look out for is, didn't Gibson do a reissue one in like 2006?
The single pickup
they
one?
They did those... Yeah. They did those reissues, didn't they?
That was way later than 2006. It was like 2010 or 2011 or something.
Was it?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but they were pretty good. They were only about £600.
Yeah, I kind of want a vintage one, though.
You're right. Late 2010, early 2011.
Yeah, I kind of want a vintage one, though. And I think those ones just won't cut it. Like, now I've had this dream about this guitar, I just really want to buy one. Like, a proper, like, cherry, like, worn cherry, like, really faded two-pickup SG Junior with, like, a real slim neck. Like, for some reason, I've just got it into my head that that's what I want, so I'm going to be on the lookout. I mean, there's no way that I can buy one now, but if anyone knows of one going, I'd like to see it. Just talk to me about it. I think it'd be cool. Should we dive in some news?
Yes.
You have to do it. Branson's not here.
News.
No, do the voice.
Sorry. News.
Is that all we're going to get?
I can.
Come on, think. But just take in the spirit of Branton.
Channel my inner Branton.
Yeah.
News.
No, that's not good enough. Come on, I've been away for 2 weeks. I've missed the news jingle.
I don't know if my voice goes that low. He's very low and I'm very high.
Maybe this is why he's ill. Maybe like...
It takes so much effort.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready? News.
No, lower.
Not... No. That's too low.
No, that's about right.
Really?
Yeah.
News.
There's no power. Like, you're really struggling to go that low.
News.
That was much higher.
This is hard work.
I know.
News.
That's good. I'm happy with that. Okay. That'll do.
Wow, I need a drink. No wonder he's pissed all the time.
He has to. Just got whiskey to basically get that voice. So, first up, Electro-Harmonix, fresh off the back of NAMM and releasing two corking pedals, have announced something else. The Canyon Delay Looper. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah. But this, like, totally came out of the blue. Like, no one talked about it, and NAMM, and then they were like, it's almost like someone forgot to deliver it to the stand, and then they were like, oh, we've got one more. Well, they were just showing you just as everyone was walking out the door on Sunday. But then Electro-Harmonix just do that. They just kind of go, oh, yeah, we've sort of made this other thing. And it looks good, but... I mean, as Jay said when we put it up in the Facebook group, it does look a little bit like a TC Electronic flashback.
Yeah.
So basically a multi-mode digital delay, four controls, level repeat, and I think, is it tone on the other one? Mm-hmm. Then you've got, yeah, 11 different digital modes to 5 millisecond tap tempo, which I thought was quite cool using the built-in foot switch. So not the same way that the TC one works. I think it just goes into a tap mode. True bypass or buffered. And apparently there's a load of second parameters on every mode as well, which I thought was quite cool. So the three main controls double up as secondary controls for some other effects. Looper, 60-second looper, shimmer, octave delay, which I thought was really nice because that's a feature they've brought in from the Epitome? What was their multi-one called?
Epitome.
The
Pog. Yeah, Epitome, yeah.
Yeah, it had like, yeah, it had a Pog, it had a Memory Man in it, and it had something else. And that had this cool like octave feature that was sort of hidden, that puts octaves only on the repeats, which I thought was quite good. Digital delay, modulation delay. Obviously, they've taken a lot of sounds from the Deluxe Memory Man. And then sample and hold, which is like a crazy sort of weird glitchy looper, which I thought was really nice. But for the money... Well, I'd imagine they're probably not going to be much money. I think it's probably going to be a good one because Electro-Harmonix don't have a habit of releasing super expensive pedals, and I don't think they've actually announced a proper price for this yet, but I doubt it's going to be over 120 quid.
Yeah, it seems to be the way with Electro-Harmonix. You know, they come in, they swoop in with an exciting effect, and then, yeah, we hear a price later, and it's like, oh, wow, it's like 80 quid or 50 quid or whatever, and it just blows everything else away.
The only weird thing with Electro-Harmonix is they have a habit of, because the guy they get to do the videos makes everything sound amazing, and I think loads of people rush out and buy it, and then you see loads of them secondhand not so long afterwards because people are like, oh, yeah, I sort of got really excited and bought it straight away, and it actually doesn't sound as good as I'd hoped. So I don't know. I think they're always 50-50 on their pedals. Sometimes they can be really, really good, and sometimes they can be a bit naff.
I just realised that I did a massive lie earlier in that I said that all I used for recording was the JCM 800 pedal power effects pedal, yeah. And the two notes bits. I actually also used not only the Dunlop Echoplex in the front end, because as we know that makes everything sound way better, but the Soul Food, Electro-Harmonix Soul Food, and kind of debated having that on or off, and it sounded way better with it on. I think the pedal that we've kind of swung back on, like, we liked it, then we didn't like it, and now I've swung all the way back, and I'm like, actually, if you use it in conjunction with other stuff, if you, like, stack things from that, it sounds really good.
So what did you do? Just roll the volume up, turn the gain down, and just use it just all on all the time in front of the...
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, just used it like a sort of, like...
Pedal power.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, used it like a boost into the pedal power. Cool. It sounded really good. Yeah, really good. Really good.
Wow.
Let's do some more news. Let's do the Joyo Jam Buddy. Now, this is already a contender for weirdest gear, I think. Matt, do you want to give us the details?
Yeah, I mean, I had to read the kind of review a couple of times and then look at it and go, I'm not really sure what it does. And then I was like, oh. And it is definitely weird. It's basically a... guitar amp, I suppose, is the easiest way to put it, with an inbuilt looper that is to be used ideally directly on the floor. So imagine a Digitech two button pedal, or like the old Vox looper. So imagine like a sort of square, and then it's got a speaker bar at the top with two 4-watt speakers on it, and then which are about 2 inches, so they're quite small speakers, then a 2-channel solid state amp built into it with Bluetooth, so you can then record and use effects at the same time with an inbuilt rechargeable battery with a 3-hour battery life.
Do you think they're aiming this at like buskers? Is that the whole point? Like,
no, I think they're aiming this at kids or people who are kind of just messing around at home. But actually, a lot of the Joyo stuff, I mean, they do a lot of products, and it's kind of a bit like Mua and Hotone and Tone City, where they've got some ones that are like absolute classics. They're like such good value for money. And then they've got some that are kind of a bit so-so. And obviously they do the little amps, same thing. Some of them are really nice. Some of them are okay. And I'm assuming they've taken the same sort of tech and then sort of put it into this. So you've got basically one button does clean or drive, and then one does drive mode, which is classic or high gain. And then, yeah, you can basically Bluetooth. And I think Bluetooth effectively allows for audio. Yeah, so you can basically play backing tracks via Bluetooth. There's no auxiliary input.
I just don't know what the audience for this is. Like, it's sort of like everything in a box. Do you know what it reminds me of a little bit? Do you remember that Tascam CD amplifier? So what was it called? The CD 1000 or something?
CD GTR 100, I think, or something like that. Tascam CD amp. Because the Tascam... I first started working in a store, we sold one of those like every day.
Oh,
they were like such a ridiculously popular product.
No, so that was like the CD trainer, right? But I'm thinking about the amplifier that had the CD player built into it.
Which had the same tech, but it had a CD player built into it. The GA30 CD, and I think they did 100 as well.
So this was a 100 watt or
massive.
A 30 watt or 100 watt amp, like 112 or 212, that had a CD player built in that also had the CD trainer technology where you could slow the tempo down without changing the pitch or the other way round. That's kind of what this Joyo product like reminds me of. It's like, here's a thing that doesn't need to exist, but it's got all the stuff in it. It's got Bluetooth, it's got effects, it's got speakers, it's got a looper, it's a pedal. Have all this stuff and put it in a box.
I kind of think they've gone, oh, you know what sells loads? Black Star Fly 3.
Yeah.
It's like, can we build the same thing? Because it's basically, looking at it, the only effect is actually delay. It's got more control than the Fly 3, but then you've obviously got two different drive modes. So I'm wondering if they're kind of going for that small... I want to say desktop, but the thing is, it's not. It's on the floor, and with two... I can imagine by the sound the time hits your ears, it's going to be a bit harsh, but I don't know. We'd have to try it. We could just totally be swayed. Because the Fly 3, the first time, and we've told the story before, but the rep, Drew, who came in from Blackstar, bought the Fly 3, and me and Jay were like, another amp we have to try and get out when someone wants to demo it. You know, because that's always the problem with the Marshall ones. It's like someone always wanted to hear it, and we were like, they don't sound very good. They are a gimmick. They are a toy. They're not really a practice amp.
We heard
the Fly 3, and we're like, it sounds great.
I used to hate working behind the counter, because we'd have, you know, those amps like lined up, like the little Marshall, the little Fender, the orange one as well.
Yeah.
And none of them sound particularly good. Like, out of those three, probably the orange is the best, like the Mini Crush or whatever it's called. But they just... I mean, it's a tiny speaker powered by batteries that is, you know, they just sound pretty bad. And then, yeah, like you say, Matt, and it was always a nuisance to demo them because people are like, oh, I'm thinking about getting a present for someone. Can I try that? It's like, oh, it sounds rubbish, though. Like, yeah, but it's small and it's 25 quid. It's perfect for a present. But the Blackstar, obviously, is a bit more money than that, but it's an actual real thing.
Yeah.
So maybe the Joyo's going down the same route as that. But
yeah, I don't know what the pricing is.
I just don't know why building...
It's got to be 100 quid, isn't it?
Why build it into a pedal? That's the weird thing. Like, yeah, very, very strange. Very strange.
Yeah.
Jay Cross, do you want to tell me about the Radial Hot British V9 and the Texas Pro?
Yeah, so Radial are one of those companies who we don't really talk a huge amount about because they don't seem to bring... Or maybe it's my imagination, but they don't seem to bring out a huge number of products. And when they do bring out a product... Well, when they do bring out a product, the product isn't particularly exciting. They bring out some excellent products, and they bring out some excellent products that really tend to like fill a niche. Like, they're great. They make those great like amp switches.
They're very functional. The Radial products,
great DI products, and stuff like that. But it's never anything really to write home about.
Well, and it doesn't help that all their stuff looks exactly the same.
There is that as well. But so I tell you what, these These two new pedals that they brought out, I think, actually seem pretty interesting. So, first of all, there's the
They don't look interesting.
They don't look interesting, no, granted. But, so first of all, we've got the Hot British V9, which, from what I can tell, it sounds exactly what you how you expect it to sound.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's going to sound like a Marshall in a box. You know, and I think, especially at the moment, with all of the... well, I mean, that conversation that we just had, you know, the Ramble Marvel Drive and the JCM...
Golden Brownie.
The Golden Brownie, the Emulate.
Wampler obviously doing stuff.
There's a lot going on there. This appears to have a few more sort of tone-shaping options. You've got switches that allow you to change the colour of the top end and gives you a bit more of a mid boost and this, that and the other. It looks... You know, it looks quite interesting. I bet it will sound great. I don't think it's going to set the world alight.
It's very functional.
Yeah, it really is quite functional. I'm sure you could drop this from the top of a building and it would continue to work.
Yes.
The radio products tend to do.
Because for a long time they made those massive, like, 2-3 channel boxes.
Yeah.
I forget what they were called now. They had, like, the classic, and they had a little valve in them, and they ran on, like, a special power supply, but they sounded great. They were basically like having an amp. And all the amp controls in one box, basically.
Yeah,
I think they.
So I don't know if these are supposed to be like slimmed down versions.
I think
of those,
they belong.
They're like they were £300, weren't
didn't
they?
Didn't they belong to the Tone Bone series?
Yeah, I think
No, Tone Bone was the series that came after.
Because these,
I think there was a series before that, like even bigger.
These new ones are Tone Bone pedals, which is
Tone Bone is the mini size. There was another size before that, but I can't remember what the actual name was.
Right, okay. So, Jay, what's the other one? The Texas Pro, is it?
So, the Texas Pro actually looks really cool, looks really interesting. So, it's a... at face value, it's like, okay, fine. So, Texas Pro, you know that it's going to... And there's a bit of green on there. It's going to be a Tube Screamer-style pedal, style overdrive. Again, you've got some colour shaping options, so you can make it sound vintage or modern. That's on one side, the drive side. Then there's also...
Can I tell you, I like the third setting in there, is maximum.
The third setting is maximum, yes. Yeah. So there's vintage, modern and maximum, which I thought was quite cool. So the other side is a boost. However, what you've also got with the boost is the ability to kick in an effects loop.
Okay.
So the effects loop is across the top, so it's just sort of standard like, you know,
send and return.
Send and return at the top there. And yeah, you can kick in, like, you can have like a delay pedal, or, you know, maybe another drive pedal or a reverb, of course, something that's going to like really make your solos, I guess, just stand out a little bit, so you don't have to turn on multiple pedals at once.
Yeah, you just have that on in the effects loop the
Absolutely,
whole time.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how do you switch between the boost and the effects loop?
No, it's the same thing. So when you kick on the boost, it also activates the effects loop.
Because the boost has got like a level control on it, so I guess you just turn that all the way down.
I don't know if you turn it all the way down, but you probably maybe leave it in the middle, and I guess that would, if you leave it at Unity, that probably won't actually give you any boost.
Yeah, it'll be either one. It'll be either at like 12 o'clock or
9 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I tell you what, this seems really cool. I'm really into the idea of that, because I can't think... There's not that many drive pedals with an effects loop. You sometimes get like...
like preamp pedals that have got an effects loop,
and or... more weird pedals, I guess. Like there's weird like ring modulators and stuff where you can add stuff in the effects loop.
Yeah, sure. And,
things
and
like
there
that,
was but... there was a actually was it the Epitome? No, what was that? There was one of those electro harmonics that had a had an effects loop. The I can't remember one of those.
Oh, was it? It wasn't like this. It wasn't the Solpog or the Turnip Greens. Did
no,
one of those
maybe it
have
was the Epitome. It was one of those ones that had like three effects in it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I really like the idea of this. Initially, I was like, okay, great, cool, couple of drive pedals, whatever. But this actually seems really interesting, and I'd really like to give it a go because I think that is genuinely filling a gap that you know
it's.
Could be super useful for someone.
Yeah.
I always think it's a shame, actually, because their products are, like, dead practical. They don't look amazing, but they do all sound really good. Like, all the drives sound so good. They're all really well-tuned. All their DI products are great. You just don't see them on many pedal boards, and I think it is that case of they kind of duff to be on loads of people's pedal boards, but practically... they're like awesome bits of kit.
Yeah, completely. Actually, a point that Lorne has just brought up in the YouTube chat is that they kind of is that sounds kind of like a Tech 21 Deluxe.
Yeah,
you know, I think Radio and Tech 21 are pretty similar companies.
At least, like at least though, Tech 21 now have gone.
Well,
like,
they've got
okay,
a bit of vibe
we
going
need,
to
we need
them.
To make an AC30 sounding pedal.
Completely,
let's make it look like an AC30.
Completely, but like compare Tech 21 to Radio 5 years ago. Do you know what I mean? All that Tech 21 really had going for it was the Sans Amp,
yeah,
and then also the Character Series, which were never in stock.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, I really think that what Tech 21 have done is they've just gone, okay, let's do this properly.
I mean,
and you know,
not,
they brought out all. Well, no,
they're still not the most sexy of products, are they?
They're
those,
not. But I think you know the FlyRig 5s are, you know, they're super. I mean, they're super utilitarian.
Yeah,
but like. They're really good sounding products, and you know they're just sort of starting to crawl their way into like sort of public knowledge, and I just think Radio just need a little bit of branding there. That's what's missing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like there's no one to make it cool
on their website, and they've got Hot British and the Texas Pro, but then they've also got the Regency, the North Star, and the Classic V9, which are other products or what, and I think that's what you say, Jade. A lot of these products are sort of just going under the radar, I think, for because they've been there longer than a lot of other companies.
Yeah,
just not many people are using them.
I mean, just looking at the website now, they've got 9 distortion pedals, and if you before this week, if you'd said name a distortion pedal by Radio, I'd have said trick question.
Yeah, they don't make any.
I've no idea. You know, most of their product range is preamps and switches and stuff like that. And
but
like,
they also do, if you just click go to the effects tab, they also do a chorus, a vocoder, I think.
Vocaloka is a foot-controlled effects loop that allows the lead vocalist, sax, or trumpet player to incorporate guitar effects pedals into the signal path, just like an electric guitarist adds effects for soloing. That sounds great.
Okay, weird. So that's not what I expected it
to be. So then they also do the Mix Blender, which is a multifunction pedal that allows you to mix two instruments or effects together, then send the combined signal through a mixer-style effects loop for processing. Who needs that?
So, well, I guess... I mean, Matt, would that allow you to, like, sub a stereo pedal to mono, I guess? That's probably the only way I can think...
I don't know, because the one pedal the one box they do that I've only been asked about once, and I managed, and they actually did a solution. This is the thing, they always tend to do stuff that have that you such like niche solutions, but someone wanted to run pedals into two effects loops.
Yeah,
and usually for two effects loops you'd go out of you'd go into the send, out of the return, into the send of the next amp, but it means the preamp is running
twice. Yeah,
and they actually make a level splitter that runs one pedal into two preamps, and they also do, we've talked about it before, they do the switch bone
yeah
that the VT, which does two valve amps, the SS, which does two solid state amps, and then the VS, which does one valve amp, one solid state. So you can do two heads into one cab, which I think is brilliant. With remote switching, it means that you've just got a foot pedal on the floor, and it's sort of like having a two channel switching between two separate amps.
Absolutely.
So they make some
mad.
Great utility products as well.
Yeah, it's you know, I think that's kind of what they're known for is the utility stuff, but I just didn't realise how many different preamp pedals they do. Like you say, Jay, they've got 9 listed on their site, yeah. Distortions and preamps.
Just looking a little bit more into it, that appears to just be... So that appears to be all Tone Bone, which by the looks of things is their like guitar-oriented style of pedals, and then the radial stuff is more like... DIs and stuff like that, and then Prime Acoustic, which appears to be their acoustic brand. I had no idea about this.
No, not at all. I know that they're okay. So, when you say acoustic brand, it's like acoustic treatment,
like
rather
acoustics.
Than...
Yeah, acoustic guitars. Yeah, I mean, I had no idea. I just literally just clicked on it now. Sorry, but yeah, weird, really weird company, but great. Like, I'm glad. I really like Radial. They are a really. Well, I guess, yeah, like you say, utilitarian, solid, reliable, just not very sexy.
I think for me, I'd need the Radial Shotgun, which is the 4-channel amp driver, configurable for one times four times mono or 2x2 stereo, allowing you to run up to 4 amps at once.
Yeah, no, that is fairly new.
All with mixable controls.
That came out a couple of years ago, didn't it?
No. That came out a few months ago. We talked about it on the podcast.
It's for those times when you need to plug in 4 amps. Could you also, though, Matty, split each of those 4 outputs into another one of those pedals?
Run 16 amps.
Take each one of those outputs and run them into an Akai head rush, and then run each one of those into 5 amps.
Yes.
And then run 20 amplifiers. Because actually, I saw a video on Instagram of someone who got these little old Fender Champs that have got the 2 inputs.
Yeah.
And gone... guitar into the first one and then patched into the out of one into the input of another, and was driving 4 of these like 1950s Fender Tweed amps at once. I was like, what a genius idea.
Yes. What I think you need, so Radial needs to do a solution where, so you can plug in those ones that go 1 into 4, so you do those and then you end up with maybe a couple of hundred like individual pedals plugged in. But then they also offer a solution that goes 4 into 1, and then you go back down until you've got a single output, and then that goes into an amp. So you can have like multiple hundreds of pedals all plugged in at once. I think that's the way to do it, definitely.
It's the future.
That is, definitely. So Radial, if you're listening, that's what we need. A couple more bits of news. BBE have announced the Mini Booster Grande. BBE, not a company we talk about much, Matt, but tell us about the Booster Grande.
Yeah, well, I mean, BBE, the company that released, they've had the Sonic Maximizer, the secret weapon of many guitarists for probably about 20 years, if not longer. And they've been making pedals for a while, but I think they're entering the like more normal pedal range, because they've done a couple in the past. I think they had the Soul Vibe and things like that, but this is them entering like small, mini pedal market, basically. So 20 dB transparent boost. The one thing that I like is it's got input impedance, which basically means it will take any pickup, so active, passive, any sort of level, because some, especially if you've got a fairly low impedance input, if you put like active pickups into it, for example, it just can't take the power or, you know, any particular really hot pickups. And the booster kind of like craps out, it gets a bit fuzzy. So in theory, this should be much better for people who are doing much higher gain stuff, or people who've got much higher output pickups as well. Military spec circuit board for reliability. I'm sure it's going to be great. You know, they make some pretty rock solid products. So yeah, that should be good. That goes alongside their Sonic Stomp Mini, which is actually one I really want to try, which is the Sonic Maximizer in the mini box. Which I can't remember if we talked about before or not, but that looks like a really, really good unit.
Did you ever get a Sonic Maximizer rack unit? I thought that was
I
your...
I did.
You did, okay, so...
I did, and it's... And it does sound good, but bizarrely enough, the manual says don't ever plug your guitar straight into it, because I don't think you get the best out of it if you plug your guitar into it, which is why some of the more recent pedals, I think, are changed for in like a pedal format for plugging guitar directly in. This one they recommend actually running in the effects loop of a mixer, so you can like basically do your whole mix, or if you're recording guitar you can do an entire guitar mix.
Yeah, I always remember those. I'm sure we've talked about it before, but Sonic Maximizers, like when I was at uni, like recording audio, and then you think like, oh, my mix doesn't sound very good. Push the button on the Sonic Maximizer, and it's like, oh, okay, that sounds like a CD. So
it does actually make everything sound surprisingly good.
Yeah.
For £25, it wasn't bad. But I think I'd quite like to try the little pedal ones, because they definitely have been kind of optimized for a guitar plugging straight in.
Yeah, definitely.
Who is BBE owned by? It's not.
I don't know.
I think they're a company.
Are they a company in themselves?
Yeah.
I thought they had like a parent company. I thought it was like the cool arm to, like how, you know, like Dodd are the cool arm of Digitech.
No. I mean, I mainly know them for the Sonic Maximizer from studio stuff. So,
I mean, if you go on their website, I think they make mixers. Oh, they actually, BBE Sound Inc. also do G&L guitars.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Maybe that's just like a distribution
founded
thing.
Founded in 1985. And a load of consumer electronic partners as well.
Yeah, I think maybe it's that they're like, actually it's the opposite, Jay, and they're like not the cool arm of anything.
Right.
They're
okay.
Like the nerdy arm of stuff.
Right.
And then they also do other
in
things.
In fact, they make a lot of technology. Apparently, manufacturers such as Panasonic, Philips, Sony and LG and many others proudly feature BBE technology products in their televisions, MP3 players, telephones, automobiles and more.
It's probably that they've gone, that Sonic Maximizer, when you turn that on, sounds good. Can you just build that into the TV and just leave it on all the time?
Build that into my car?
Yeah, basically, my driving's rubbish. I want to push a button and my driving's better. If only it could do that to my guitar playing, that would be excellent. We've got a little bit of time left. Should we said that we're going to do more questions on the podcast from now on, so should we dive in some...
questions?
That one was okay. That was okay. You only make you do that once.
Okay, good.
So it's good. Yeah, it was good. So
it's really,
it's tiring.
It's really hard work.
Yeah. Maybe I think we might have broken Joe Brenton.
Joe spent his life doing voices, so he's sort of like, it just comes naturally to him now.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a bunch of people listening to this now, rolling their eyes, going, "Oh, it's really easy." Tell you what, next time you're by yourself, because it would be a bit embarrassing to do it in the office or on the bus or something. Next time you're by yourself, try and do questions. I nearly did it.
So this one's for the audience. Okay, so it's time to dive into some... Okay, so first up, Gerd says, "Hi guys, looking for a really loud but really portable combo amp with a good clean tone, preferably Fender-like in terms of tone. Any suggestions?" J-Cross... How many years have we been saying it, Gerd? You need to go back to 2013 and listen to every podcast we've done, firstly under the GAC Guitar Shop podcast banner, and also the Guitar Nerds podcast, and you will hear pretty much every week we have said that if you want a small, portable, loud Fender amp, you should go for the
Fender Blues Junior, baby.
Yes, I think Fender should have given us a Blues Junior by now. We must have sold X number of Blues Juniors.
I reckon there was a period of time when we were working at GAC, like, we could look back through the sales that had happened recently, like the last, you know, we could choose a period of time and see what had sold in that period of time by product, and like, I remember very specifically going through and having a look at how many Blues Juniors had been sold over like a 3-month period.
Yeah.
And like, the majority of them were sold by me.
Yeah.
Like, Blues Juniors and Baja Telecasters, there have got to be, like, I reckon I sold at one point, like, I mean, I don't know, because I don't know how many they sell, but I sold bloody loads of them because I absolutely loved them, and I still love them. And I still think that whilst you can't get those two items for under a grand anymore, if you could...
That'd be the best thing
for under a grand. You could buy for under a grand. Fender Blues Junior, there's a lot... There are things that you could say are wrong with it. The drive isn't great.
But he does say he wants a good clean tone.
Clean tone. In that case, don't worry about it, man. Go and buy a JCM... You later.
Yeah.
No, JCM
800 emulator.
What's it called?
The Pedal Pal Effects JCM 800 emulator.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a very, but maybe if you just want clean tone, don't worry about it. Just get, I mean, it's worth saying that Blues Junior is 15 watts, but 15 watts all valve, they
so
are
loud.
Very loud. If they're not quite loud enough for you, then obviously the next step is the Deluxe,
yep.
Which is the Hot Rod Deluxe,
Hot Rod
which
Deluxe.
Is 40 watts.
And that is really loud. And the drive sounds better in that. But I would say, if you're going to spend that much money, which is nowadays, I don't know, there must be 800 quid.
Yeah.
Maybe more. I bought a Fender Supersonic. I had a Fender Supersonic 22 for ages until I lent it to my mate's band, and it got
crushed.
It got mashed. The insurance paid out on it, so it was fine. But that amp was amazing.
Yeah.
Was so amazing. Two channel, the clean was wonderful. The drive was the best Fender drive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, like, if you wanted to go really, like, weird precision drive, which Fender did with, like, the Machete.
Yeah, that was their sort of, like, boogie alike.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a weird one, wasn't
it? It was a really weird amp. But for me, the best Fender drive was in the Supersonic 22. So if you want something that's a bit more versatile, go for that. I mean, they are more like a grand nowadays, I think. But Blues Junior, just what a great amp.
Mm-hmm. Matt, can you think of anything else that you want to suggest?
Can I put in my one allowed Roland shout per podcast?
Yes, you can. This is your one chance to drop an R-bomb.
Just go out and try the Roland Blues Cube Hot. Because honestly, I plugged it again in the office again the other day, and I was like, it sounds so good. 30 watts, down to half a watt if you want to use it at home. It's basically based on a Fender Bassman-style circuit. Simple to use. It's got reverb. Obviously, it's all solid state, but it's analog input and output. If you want something a little bit different, you know, we did a video on it, and I always think they do sound good, but not many people dare plug them in. So that's my Roland shout for the week, Blues Cube Hot.
I'm also going to throw into the mix, because I use the Hughes & Kettner Tubemaster 5 at home, but I know they do the 18 combo as well. Is that right, Matt?
That's right.
If you want...
36.
Sorry, you cut out there slightly.
Yeah, the Tubemaster's it's 18 is the next one up from the 5, right?
Ah, yes.
Yeah, very, very different.
I think they...
Go on, Matt.
I was going to say, they do quite... They still make the 18, don't they? They do a 36 Deluxe now, which are actually still reasonable value for money
the
as well.
The Grandmeister.
Yeah, I think they also do, bizarrely enough, they do a Tubemaster 36, and they do a Grandmeister.
Yeah,
oh, right.
I think the Grandmeister's got effects. The 36 doesn't have effects.
Yeah.
So, very different clean sound. A lot more kind of modern, very precise sounding. Whereas obviously the Fender's got a bit more of a kind of valviness about it. But yeah, both really good amps. Obviously, with the Tubemaster, you get the benefits of things like the Redbox output. So if you want to do home recording, you can do that. And it's also got variable output, I believe, the 36, which the 5 doesn't have. So yeah, also worth checking out. But I mean, it's Blues Junior, basically. If you want something loud, portable, Fendery clean sound, go to the source, man. Go straight, direct. Get a Blues Junior pumped into your veins.
The bloody best, man.
It is the bloody best. Chris says, started watching old Blink-182 vids and live sets while down a YouTube hole. Can anyone tell me why Tom DeLonge, but also Mark Hoppus, use capos on a lot of stuff? J. Cross.
I don't know. I assume it's because he didn't want to... I assume it's probably that over the years, they started playing them in a higher key.
Well, no,
and they didn't
think,
want to learn how to play
think,
it differently.
You think they'd play down over the years, because your voice tends to get lower over the years rather than higher.
Yeah, but if you sing more, then your voice tends to get higher, doesn't it? Like,
does it?
Yeah.
No, you struggle to hit high notes as you get older.
Not if you are good at singing and warm up and stuff.
Yeah, no, you do. Generally, it's kind of thought that you still hold the low end of your range, but you've failed to get to the top. I personally think it is... I don't know. I know Mark Hoppus used a lot of chords and stuff on the bass, so I think some of it is down to that. I also think that for Tom DeLonge, like maybe because he does. Yeah, I've seen him use a capo when he's been doing like the What's My Age Again intro that's allowed him to do some more open stuff going on. But I guess, yeah, generally it will be that they've written a song in one key and then gone to play it on the record and it's like, oh, actually we need to capo up on this. That would be the reason. Just, yeah, for vocals and stuff. But yeah, I mean, maybe it's also like over the years they're just like playing in a different key.
I guess so. Yeah. Maybe they thought if we play this song in this key, we can then go into this song and then this song.
Yeah, maybe there's some
change guitars and stuff.
Element of that. It could also be that. It could be.
They didn't want to change guitars or didn't have time to change guitars.
Changing guitars on set, maybe. Yeah. Like if you're, say, the next song is in like a, you know, a D standard. Maybe it's easier to do that capo on the second fret so your guitar's in E.
Yeah.
And then take the capo off for the next song. It's probably that, actually, I'd imagine, because you don't really want to be changing guitars every song if you're doing different tunings and stuff like that.
Don't be so experimental.
Well, exactly. Just get... So, the Blink-182 chronology goes Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
Dude Ranch.
Yeah.
Enema of the State.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, three fantastic albums, and then they went back to their home planet.
Take off your pants and jacket. It's a great record.
No, it is not. It is 100% not.
There's some howlers on that, but it has the Rock Show, which is it's second best Blink-182 song after the best Blink-182 song, which is on the next record.
No. They, after that, their home planets needed them, so they went back to their home planets.
Was the original drummer, did he get called back first?
Scott Rayner? Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, after Dude Ranch, it was like, oh, the home planet's calling. Had to get some dude from
the
Aquabats. Yeah, Blink-182.
I have no idea. Yeah, I've never listened to enough of Blink-182 to really know.
Travis Barker.
Whatever was on Kerrang was what I listened to, and that was it.
He's not the original drummer. A guy called Scott Rayner, who they booted out for personal reasons.
He loves that. He's not a multi-millionaire.
He probably still is, I'd imagine. I think he's got writing credit on like the first two albums, so
I'm sure he's doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, Dude Ranch sold plenty of copies. I think I'm sure he's doing okay. So
you know, similar thing with The Offspring. The original drummer,
he's not the original Noodles. Someone else played Noodles before him.
No, the original drummer left after the first record. Which must have been gutting, because then obviously the third record became the biggest selling independent album of all time. But this was about 10 years ago, I did some reading on it. He left, because they're all like super smart. Like Dexter Holland and Noodles have both got PhDs.
Yeah.
And the original drummer had a PhD.
How did they find time to do a PhD?
Well, I guess he's just in the van a lot, I don't know.
Punk rock songs are really easy to write.
Well, yeah, there's that. But the original drummer didn't continue being in the band and went on to become one of the United States leading gynecologists.
Wow, there we go, two exciting careers.
Absolutely. But no, that's true, I think.
So anyway, with that, I think we should wrap this up. There is actually one question I did want to answer. Troy said, what ever happened to Fun for a Ton, which is going to be, or we touted as a series where we all get £100 out of the Guitar Nerds kitty, and we try and buy a guitar, the best guitar we can buy for £100.
It's not coming out of our own money anymore.
No, it can come out of the Guitar
Nerds. Well, that's the thing, I don't think there is any Guitar Nerds money yet, so...
So, Patreon. Well, sign up for Patreon. No, we're going to take £100 and basically see what guitar we can either buy or build for £100. And then we're going to do videos where talk about why we bought the bits and where we're getting them from and a bit of a sort of video diary of our experience of Fun for a Ton. It's on hold at the moment just because we haven't had any time. But the plan is...
I did put a big, long reply to him on the Facebook group actually saying we are working on it.
Yes. Some exciting news. Let's ramp things up. We'll talk about Patreon first because there's some... I've set some Patreon goals on the Patreon page. At the moment, we're...
I saw that.
Is that not just for us, though?
No. That's for everyone can see that, so they know.
Yeah, I know everyone can see it, but does it make any odds?
Yeah, I think so. It tells people what we're shooting for over the next year or so. So, at the moment, we're sitting at, what, just over $500 a month, something like that. So, the two Patreon goals I've set, $750, which, if we hit that before January next year, we'll definitely go to NAMM. All four of us will go to NAMM. We'll film video content.
Does Joe have to come?
Yes, Joe unfortunately has to come. Most of that money will be for us to get Joe a separate hotel so that he doesn't have to stay with us. But the tier above that is $1,200, and with that is going to guarantee that we get a Guitar Nerds HQ, a premises for doing some filming, and fun for a ton may happen before that. It may require us to have some space to do some filming in, so we'll see. And for those of you who don't know what Patreon is, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where for as little as $5 a month you get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. And there's actually a tier below that. $1 a month means you get an ad free version of this podcast, but $5 a month gets you extra half an hour. Also gets you the mini series we're working on, Branton's Ranton, where Joe bangs on about things he hates, has just wrapped up, and we've got another mini series coming for you very soon, something I think we're calling Cross Talk, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe.
Something like that.
I think that sounds a little bit
narcissistic. Crossfade?
I don't really want my name.
Crosstalk sounds a bit like an Alan Partridge series.
Yeah, yeah.
I quite like it, though.
Jay's...
No, that's also my name.
Cross chat. Cross...
If any of those...
Monkey
I thought...
tennis. no, so this is going to be a thing
we're wrestling with Chris Eubank.
Exactly. So this is going to be the series where you talk to producers and engineers about guitar tones.
Yeah, something like that.
I want to call it Youth Hostling with Chris Eubank. I think it would be really good. Really good. So that's coming soon. What, we're kicking that off in a couple of weeks, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so there's stuff like that. We've got some interviews coming up. Matt, you've got a load of pedal builders and people you met at NAMM lined
I've
up for interviews.
I've got seven pedal builders.
Cool.
All across the globe, mainly America, who are going to come and talk to me about stuff.
Awesome.
Quite good. And maybe Branton as well, because Branton likes pedals. So.
He does. We've also got some cool players lined up as well, and some people in the industry and stuff. So all that stuff is coming. I know we promised like maybe a couple of interviews a month, which we've not quite kept up to yet, but... As you can hear, Matt, he's got a load of stuff lined up. Jay's got his series lined up. I'm talking to some people. So loads of content on the Patreon channel, patreon.com/guitar nerds. And our top tier there is for $10 a month, where you get your name read out. Thusly, Jay hasn't got the names lined up yet. He hasn't got the names lined up. Jay has not got the names lined up, but he has.
Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Matcher, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, JD Shaw, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Gorgon, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Move, grab it.
Jay just read out the Patreon names. He did a good job, but
wait,
not as
one.
Good
wait.
As Branton.
Colin Anderson.
There we go.
Colin Anderson. Colin Anderson.
Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. And you can tell us how good you enjoyed the Patreon song was this week without Joe Branton
the
here.
Patreon song. It's like the poker rap.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Don't do the poker rap.
I won't.
Next week, maybe you should read out Patreon backers at the same speed as the Pokemon rap.
I caught them all this week.
I hate you.
I completed Pokemon Go.
I hate you so much.
I did.
Join the Facebook group where you can chat about stuff. You can leave us questions for the podcast. You can tell us how much you hate Joe Branton. You can go to Instagram @GuitarNerds, Twitter @GuitarNerds. Share the love. Talk to us about stuff. It feels good to be back. I'm really happy to be back on the podcast.
Good.
I basically didn't talk to anyone for 2 weeks, and now I talk to you guys for an hour and 5 minutes, and it feels good.
Like busting.
Busting makes me feel, partying makes me feel good.
Partying.
Right, we should call it a night. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, gang. Bye-bye. Thank you.